No, I think these guys, their expectation is they're going to win. And there's anything short of that is disappointment on our part. So, you know, our expectation is we're going to win games, and we understand that we've got to go out and earn it.
We have to win the same way. There's no other way for us to win. It's exactly the problem the previous games. We tried to win another way, and we got our butts kicked.
Welcome back. Hour number three, Melnick in the afternoon, TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo. Answers from Space with Bill Lee from beautiful BC in about 40 minutes. Pierre LeBrun after 6 o'clock. We have some soccer tickets to give away. Canada's national team playing at Saputo Stadium with Patrice Bernier on it. We have a four-pack to give away. That, of course, Mike Sullivan, coach of the defending Stanley Cup champion Penguins, who are either going to be in a position after tonight to defend their title or get wiped out, eliminated by Guy Boucher's Ottawa Senators. They need to play the same way, basically, is what he's saying. Well, that would mean 45 more saves for Craig Anderson.
Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Dagwoods. Now open in Laval on Saint-Marte and Daniel Johnson. Bring Dagwoods' unique taste to your neighborhood. Visit dagwoods.ca for franchising information.
Live from Pittsburgh, Pierre McGuire, how are you?
Excellent, Mitch. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Is there any tension in the air in Pittsburgh? I'm sure a lot of that city did not expect to have to play to Game 7.
No, but they've been through this before a fair number of times. I haven't really detected much walking over to the rink early this morning. I usually take the same route, talk to the same people. I didn't really experience a lot of trepidation when I visited with them. Been at the rink since about 3 o'clock this afternoon. Again, see all the security people, see all the people that work around the scenes here. I haven't experienced that. The fans that I've seen have been really confident. You heard Mike Sullivan. I think it's part of being a Penguin or a Penguins fan. Just the expectation here is you win. You know, there's nothing short of that. My good friend Ray Shiro paid the price because they didn't win to the level that ownership expected them to win. And Ray took them to 2 Stanley Cup finals and won one, you know, in another Eastern Conference final. I mean, so you look at the amount of playoff games Ray Shiro generated here, but wasn't able to win the second cup, and that basically got him fired and hired in New Jersey. But that's the level of expectation here. And you know what? If you're a management person or a coach or a player, that's the kind of situation you want to play in. That's the kind of situation you want to work in. That's the kind of situation you're proud to say you're part of.
Amen. I'm glad you mentioned that because there, as you know, and I'm not putting the blame on anybody in particular here, just there seems to be this feeling out there, well, it is so much tougher in the salary cap era to get there. Well, your job as a general manager and a hockey ops guy in the National Hockey League is to get there. That's your job. Right?
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. This is my biggest thing. And, you know, and you've been an amazing ally, through all the different job searches I've been through, the number one thing I think you have to explain to these owners as you go through it, what's your vision, and then how are you going to attain your vision? What kind of standards are you going to create internally that are going to allow you to realize the vision that you've created for ownership and for your team? And that's where, and you've heard me use this term a ton, organizational standards matter. And when Mario Lemieux is your owner, there are huge organizational standards. And if you do not live up to his expectation and expectation of the people that are his partners, then it's not going to work and you're going to have to go somewhere else.
Look what happened
that's
in Chicago last month. Chicago.
Well, you knew when we talked about it and I said, hey, Mitch, I know this probably isn't going to matter much, but somebody's taking a hit in Chicago. Two guys took the hit. Mike Kitchen took a hit, an assistant coach, and Teddy Dent, the coach of their minor league team, took a hit. Two guys took hits in that thing, and that put everybody else on notice. They better not fail again next year, or more people will take a hit there. And I can tell you that right now, then that's the way it should be.
Well, I think our guys just, you know, they have it in perspective. They understand that what a 7-game series is all about, and all you can do is control what you can and do your very best to have success.
Well, each game like this is special, and you remember these games, and I think the best way to remember those games is by winning them. So I think we got to go out there and we got to give our best effort and we got to come out from the start.
There's a guy, and again, we've touched on Brian Rust before. Already in his young career, that seems to have a penchant for scoring big goals at the under the biggest spotlight. I would look to him tonight. But what do you see? Tell us, give us the two scenarios: how Pittsburgh wins and how Ottawa wins.
I'll start with Ottawa first because they're an amazing story. I think they win if Craig Anderson plays, and I heard you correctly say, by the way, he's going to have to come up with about 45 saves because I expect that's to be the shot total by Pittsburgh, 40 to 45. He's going to have to come up with about that number of saves. He's not going to have a lot of room for error. They're going to have to get huge play from Kyle Turris because Derek Brassard is really an injured guy. I don't expect him to do much, and I said to you before game three, they need Brassard and Turris to really be large if they're going to win that game three, and they did. Both those guys had a goal and an assist in that game three, which was a blowout win over Pittsburgh. Turris is going to have to elevate even more, and they're going to have a huge matchup game, and Mark Crawford's going to have to be stellar with this, obviously, making sure, because you can't change all five guys on the road here against Pittsburgh. It's just too hard. So you're going to have to get a matchup game on the back end, and they get, you know, Phaneuf's going to have to go against Malkin, and Carlson and Mathot are going to have to go against Crosby, and they're going to have to be really good on their changes, really, really good on their changes for Ottawa to win.
Pittsburgh
to win is going to need a lot from Crosby. They're going to need a lot from Malkin, and the biggest thing is they got to stay out of the box. If they stay out of the box, I'm not sure how much 5-on-5 scoring Ottawa's going to get. And I do think Pittsburgh can score more readily 5-on-5. And they just need their guys to play within themselves. Don't stress out about the moment, which I don't think they will, by the way. I don't think they'll stress out at all. This is a pretty unique situation here because last year taught these guys a lot about winning, obviously going to the final and winning the cup. But this Game 7 against Washington this year taught them a ton, because they had to go on the road and they had to stare the devil down, and they were able to do it. That taught them a ton. So I expect that they understand what this moment's going to require.
It's interesting about staying out of the box, and people have watched this series probably going, well, wait a minute, Ottawa's power play has been dreadful. It was until Bobby Ryan scored. That, all of a sudden, if they get an early power play and they got the same feeling about what would happen in Game 6, that could make the difference.
There's no question, but the other part of that is Pittsburgh doesn't play Crosby and Malkin very often in penalty kill situations, so that keeps them off the ice. And I think that those are two guys, and I said that to you before, are two guys that are going to have to be very important for Pittsburgh to win. So when they take penalties, those guys are sitting on the ice chilling out, and you don't want that, because that's when the matchup becomes easier for Phaneuf, and that's where the matchup becomes easier for Carlson and easier for Mathot. So you need to stay 5-on-5 to break those guys down even more, because it's the seventh game. And there's been a lot of battle fatigue on both sides, but in particular for the defense of Ottawa.
With Pierre McGuire on site in Pittsburgh prior to Game 7 tonight on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, and Mitch Gallo. Rod?
Ottawa's ability to stay in a game even though they didn't have a lead, and it was very pronounced in round two against New York especially, is that thrown out the window, or do they have to stay committed to what they do even if they don't have a lead or Pittsburgh gets a lead early on?
No, I think they'll have to flush that. If they don't get a lead within the first 25 to 30 minutes, let's just say they're down 1-0 or 2-0, I think that they've got to change. They're going to have to open it up, because Pittsburgh will squeeze a lot. Pittsburgh knows how to do it because they've done it before, and Guy Boucher knows that. They'll squeeze the life out of the game. So that's why it's really important, I think, for Ottawa to stay within a goal so that they can maintain their style. If they can't, then it's a problem.
With home ice and the second change, Pierre, what matchups do you think the Penguins are going to be looking for? And specifically, I guess, what we saw from the Zach Smith-Evgeny Malkin matchup in the last game, where Malkin just completely out-muscled him and out-willed him to score the goal that the Penguins got from Malkin. How do you see the matchup game?
Yeah, I don't see the matchup being really that important for Pittsburgh. Obviously, I think the defense matchups are more important for Ottawa. And so that's where there'll be more stress on Mark Crawford to make sure that he gets CeCe and Phaneuf out against Kessel and Malkin and whomever, probably Scott Wilson or whomever plays on the other wing. And obviously trying his best to get Carlson and Mathot out against Crosby as much as possible. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to Sidney Crosby's father this morning at the morning skate, and he said, hey, weren't you at the 05 Memorial Cup? I go, yeah, I was. He goes, doesn't this remind you with Mathot against Sidney, the way this is playing out? I said, yeah, I've said it on radio shows. I've said it on TV. It reminds me just of that. So that's the matchup that I would, those are the two that will be really important, what they're going to do with Malkin and what they're going to do with Crosby. Pittsburgh's not that worried about matchups.
He has such a wealth of experience to draw on, and I think he's a fierce competitor. I think Sid's a guy that that wants to win in the worst way, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to win. And so there's no doubt in my mind he'll lead by example.
Once again, Mike Sullivan on Troy Crosby's son, Sidney Crosby. Pierre, I know it's happened before. Canadians fans will think of a Game 7 in Pittsburgh and what happened in 2010. Yeah. But just the watching Crosby, and you pointed to the Washington series, just watching him look, it's hard to visualize him leaving his own building losing tonight. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do know what you mean, and that's not any with any disrespect at all to the Ottawa Senators, who've been a phenomenal story, but that's exactly the feeling I have. I just don't see him capitulating and saying, oh, by the way, go ahead and win a Game 7 in our building, because he's seen, especially he's been part, one of the authors of it, the demise of the Washington Capitals on Game 7 situations in Washington. He's seen what the other guys have gone through. He's experienced that, but on the positive side of it, but he also... When you go through that, and what I remember the most from two handshake lines from being in the Stanley Cup final and winning, what I realize is I would never, and I said this to Scotty so many times, I would never want to be on the side where you lost, because you know how hard you tried, you know how much everybody went through, you know the pain and the suffering the guys went through to get there, and then to have nothing at the end of it, that's got to be painful. I would never want to experience that, never.
All right, this might be the quote of the conference finals, either one of them.
I think we got to go there and bore them out of the building. That's what we got to do.
Clark MacArthur yesterday. that's, well, he's right, right? You might not like it, but he's right.
Well, it's not, their job is to win. Their job's not to paint a Rembrandt. You know, none of them are art history majors. Their job is to come in here and do what they have to do to win, whatever it takes. You know, whether it's to take a hit to make a play, whether it's to run somebody through the boards in a legal manner so you're not taking penalties, whether it's to drive hard to the net and finish a play, block a shot if you're not a shot blocker, whatever it takes, you got to do it if you want to win, and especially if you want to win on the road against this team.
I can't wait to see what we're going to see right out of the gate from the officials. We have two veteran referees working tonight.
Yeah, McCauley and Dan O'Halloran.
And O'Halloran is last, I think it was, he worked Game 6, Pittsburgh-Anaheim. He called penalties early.
You mean Nashville-Anaheim.
Yeah, Nashville-Anaheim, right. Yeah, that
yeah,
there.
Yeah. No, because that's why I hesitated. I just wanted to, yeah. No, he did. But Dan's thing is, Dan calls stick violations. That's Dan. Dan is, you know, again, if you're, both these teams, I'm sure, have scouted the officials that are working tonight. McCauley lets you play hard, chest to chest, shoulder to shoulder. So does O'Halloran. But O'Halloran calls a few more stick violations than maybe McCauley does. McCauley has probably a better way about him with the benches. O'Halloran's more, a little bit more gruff.
Yep.
So you don't want to get him angry. You just don't.
You can hear, honestly, if you know where we work, right, during the game. We're way up above the opposition's net for two periods. You could hear Dan O'Halloran yelling at the players from the highest point of the Bell Center. He does.
There are two guys that
No, he's in their face. He's in their face, and, you know, it's not clean.
No, they're two guys that are really vocal and very much in charge when they officiate. One is Dan O'Halloran, and the other one is Brad Watson, who's no longer officiating. And I can tell you, from all my years, those guys take charge. They remind me a lot of what Koharski was like. They remind me a lot of what Fraser was like. They remind me a lot of what McCreary was like. And they remind me a lot of what Van Helleman was like. Those, to me... When I was working, those were the gold standards for officials. They really were. Those guys were the gold standards. And those two in particular, Watson and O'Halloran, remind me of them. And I think McCauley right now is the best young official in the league today. I really do. I think Wes is the best young official.
Just asked Ray Ferraro in the last 40 minutes who his favorite referees were when he played. He said Dan Marowelli and Kerry Fraser.
Maroli was good, and we were friends afterwards. But when I was coaching, Dan and I didn't get along very well. So he wasn't one of my favorites as an official. We became very good friends after I was done coaching and started broadcasting. My favorite was Billy McCreary. Billy was awesome, just fantastic.
We see him. He's a supervisor. We see him a lot during the course of the year.
He's managing this series. He's here to manage this series.
And as you might be aware of, Pierre, because of where you are from, Mont-Tremblant, where you live, there's a movement to try to get Wally Harris into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up. Mark Petticelli, who's kind of engineering that, has been in touch with me, and I've been in touch with different people involved with the Hall of Fame and trying like heck to get that thing moving. Wally's obviously an amazing friend and somebody that really helped shepherd me early in my career in terms of the do's and don'ts, so I will always be grateful to Wally for that. He and Dorothy are actually moving down. His wife are moving down to Montreal now, moving out of Tremblant and out of Saint-Gervais, so I'm thinking of them right now. But yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up because, man, oh man, you talk about, hey, he may have refereed in one of the greatest games ever played that wasn't an NHL game, Montreal versus the Soviet Union, or, you know, remember in those days, was it 76?
75, New Year's Eve. 75, New Year's Eve.
75, New Year's Eve. Yeah. There you go. 75, New Year's Eve, going into 76. He refereed in maybe one of the best games I ever played.
Well, he was just a great referee, and I was shocked to discover that he's not in the Hall of Fame. I know they don't put a lot of officials in, but he meets all the criteria. The guy worked 6 Stanley Cup finals. He was the very first referee-in-chief in the history of the NHL. He was very well respected by everybody in the game. So if you are going to have officials in the Hall, he ought to be in there.
Oh, absolutely. You know what else? He was a great oarsman. He was a phenomenal rower. He really was. He used to do that to get in shape in the summers. He's just a great athlete, phenomenal golfer. Oh, my goodness gracious. What a great – and his demeanor on the golf course, only when he shanked balls would he get mad, and he didn't do that very often because he was so good. But his demeanor on the golf course, unbelievable, really good.
Back to Game 7 tonight, Rod.
Well, and so many of the referees and officials that you and Mitch have been talking about for the last couple of minutes, Pierre, they had some individuality and some personality. And I understand the league kind of wants their referees and linesmen to become like programmable robots and no gray area, everything's black or white, no names in the back of their jerseys. I understand that. But there's got to be a middle ground between having some personality and communication versus just being programmable machines.
Rod, I'm just going to tell you the number one thing I would do if I was allowed to be the commissioner for a day, the first thing I would do is put the names of the officials on their sweater. The first thing I would do, and then I'd work through some of the other little problems that maybe the league, because I don't think there are a lot of big problems with this league. But if I had the chance to be commissioner for a day, I'd want the referees to have their names on their jerseys so that their personalities could come out. I'll give you a case in point. He's not a referee, but I think Pierre Racicot is one of the best guys working in the NHL. The way he associates with the players, the way he talks to the coaches, the way he handles offside calls, the way he deals with the fans on his way onto the ice or off of the ice, he's a phenomenal story. He's part of the package of an NHL game. He is, and I'd like more people to know who he is. He's a tremendous guy and a world-class official, world-class.
You think about it, Pierre, when they remove the names, it's a completely different era. I mean, what we have, social media and Twitter, and they've got all access. Every team has their own all access 24/7. You're trying to sell everybody involved in the game. You're miking people up. I mean, come on. This is way past your it makes no sense at this stage in 2017.
I agree. You know, I don't know what the officials think about it. Maybe I'm speaking in a place they don't want me to speak to, but I would say this. I think it would be a very important thing going forward.
I don't know the mindset, but I know that I believe that if I was an NHL referee, I'd be so damn proud of it, and I'd want my name. I'd want Melnyk on my jersey, not just stripes. All right, what about the injury situation?
Well said. Really well said. Injury for both these teams? Hard to say. I saw Alex Burrow this morning trying to get himself ready to go. I don't know if he'll be ready to go. Brassard's hurt. There's no question Brassard's hurt. He's hurt bad. I don't know what kind of, you know, stuff he has to do to get ready for the game, but I would be absolutely shocked if you saw him take a face off tonight from the Ottawa side. I think it's just wear and tear. Obviously, Carlson's a little nicked up. Finneff's a little nicked up. CeCe's definitely nicked up on the back end. So, that'll be interesting to watch in a game seven, because that's when the fatigue factor could potentially kick in. Both goalies are healthy, Anderson and Murray. Pittsburgh side of things, I don't know what they're going to do with Hornquist. I think he's the $64 million question. What are they going to do with him? If he can play, I know he can handle the pain, but if he can play, that could help them a little bit in terms of getting in front of Anderson and making it a harder game for the defense to play, and maybe that would create more rebounds.
Boy, you figure with an appearance in the Stanley Cup Final up for grabs here that if he can breathe, he's playing, right?
You know, I don't know, because, everybody knows it's lower body, but it's pretty significant, so I don't know. That's why he's out. It just got worse and worse from the Washington series on, and he just couldn't do it. The other one is Justin Schultz, I think, will be a game-time decision, so that wouldn't surprise me, watching him walk out today at the rink and talking to him on his way out. That one, I think, has more of a chance to happen.
And do you expect Chris Kelly to be in, considering how important he was in terms of that meeting among players, that they want him in there, or Tommy Wingles instead of Colin White?
Well, Colin White played less than 3 minutes, which was unfortunate for him. I can't wait for fans to see him. He's really a good player. They just don't, at this point, have that much confidence in him. I have to think Kelly goes in just because he's got huge this is his 90. If he plays tonight, it'll be his 92nd career playoff game. Not bad for a player that was drafted 94th in 1999, you think about it. And the Stanley Cup in 2011, he can refer back to that. He was phenomenal, obviously, in the 2011 Stanley Cup Final for Boston. So if they're looking for experience in a game like this, he's a perfect guy to put in.
Pierre McGuire on site for Game 7. We'll know who the Stanley Cup finalists are when it's all over. It starts next Monday. Pierre, thanks as always. Enjoy. Again, we have to say, I wish we could be watching you guys tonight, but we'll have plenty to talk about tomorrow.
Yes, we will, sir. Take care. Have a good night, everybody. Enjoy Game 7.
For me, it's not looking at the past, because I can draw back on many, many Game 7s that I've been involved in where we won. It was unbelievable. And then Game 7 is where you lose. The reality is it's May 25th, 2017, with our team, our players, and that's a new opportunity in my life.
We've got to make sure that, we don't let that disappointment, I guess, affect us moving forward. We just got to reset our mind and go out and go after Game 7.
Hockey Insider.